found the right frequency. You're taking flight with Free Radio Skybird, circling back for the autumn broadcast season. Free Radio Skybird is free-form, free-spirited radio for creative minds and DXers everywhere. October is our 10th anniversary month of Free Radio Skybird, so please stay tuned for lots of great radio coming to you here on 6070 kHz shortwave. Coming up in this broadcast, we're going to be hearing One Deck Pete and Justin Moore's Radiophonic Laboratory. But first, here's a shortwave documentary by David Gorin on the number stations.
Atención, 6, 7, 3, 7, 0. Atención, 6, 7, 3.
The first time I heard a Spanish numbers lady, I was a kid, lying in bed, tuning around on my uncle's old shortwave radio.
Atención, 6,
I was baffled by the solitary voice. She's still on the air. And even though I've heard her in one form or another since the early 70s, the sound of her voice continues to haunt me.
Achtung, Achtung, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Ever since I was 13, I've scoured the shortwave bands for exotic signals. It's hard not to stumble over a number station. When I first heard them, no one seemed to know anything about them. By the end of the 70s, they acquired a following. A hardcore group of listeners continued to obsessively tape and analyze these stations. They give them catchy nicknames, like The Boardman and Bulgarian Betty. Hugh Stegman tracks the numbers for Monitoring Times, a journal for hardcore radio listeners.
They're encrypted messages to somebody. We think it's to spies. We hope it's just to spies. Nothing more sinister than that.
Group 2, 5.
A number station is defined as any of several hundred shortwave radio broadcasters, all of which are using high-power big transmitters, large antennas, global coverage of the entire planet, which do nothing except broadcast meaningless strings of numbers. They never say why they're doing it. They never say who they are.
My take on the numbers transmissions is that they're the evil twin of a standard shortwave station. They have announcers and programming of a sort. They even adhere to a vintage shortwave tradition, the interval signal. This is a little ditty played a few minutes before the main broadcast to help the listener find and fine-tune the signal. Next comes the header.
3, 9, 7, 1, 5.
It could mean who the message is for. It could mean there isn't any message. The header is followed usually by something that lets people know the header is over. The CIA likes to beep. Other stations do other strange things.
Ready. 3, 5.
Then they usually go into the message, which is a series of number groups, 4 or 5 numbers.
1, 8, 0. I'm envisioning myself as a lonely agent sitting in the basement in some urban area. I have no friends. I'm far from home. I'm far from my family. And this is my communication. This is my link back to my world. So I'm very carefully recording this message. Tell me something.
I say again.
I asked Bruce Schneier, a leading academic cryptographer, why an intelligence agency would communicate with an agent in the field in such an open way.
It seems to be a relic of the Cold War. We always think of the radio as mass broadcast. You speak on the radio and everybody listens. This is an example of radio being used to talk to one particular person. You encrypt the message, which allows you to use this public broadcast medium to send a private message. That's really very pretty.
The CIA does it, Russia does it, Cuba does it, the British do it, everybody does it.
Hugh Stegman.
Okay, evidence. That's a problem. There's never anything that hard.
I've always assumed these are using a one-time pad or a variant, which are theoretically unbreakable, given the assumptions of only having the ciphertext or only having what's broadcast on the stations.
A one-time pad is a page of random numbers, which is the key used to encrypt and then decrypt the message. The sender and recipient each have a copy. The pad is used once and then destroyed.
It is pretty much untraceable. The operations have been compromised over and over again. People are captured, people change sides, people just get sloppy. Many, many times they've seen the code pads, they've seen the receivers. The fact that the other side knows that this is how they do it does not give them any more access to the information. It's a perfect system in that respect.
Some stations get jammed, presumably by rivals who pinpointed the transmitter site using sophisticated techniques. A numbers enthusiast has to rely on intensive listening to pick up any clues.
Most of what you hear in the United States does come from Cuba. The Cuban stuff started right after Castro got in and started getting tensions in that area. It has gone on since. The engineering is sloppy. Tapes stop in the middle. Tapes are played backwards. They play Radio Havana by mistake. Radio Havana plays them by mistake. You get the idea, they're just barely on top of the situation, but they keep at it.
There's another Spanish numbers lady who is widely heard in North America. Some numbers monitors claim to have traced a signal to a government transmitter site in Warrenton, Virginia. They call her Cynthia, as in starts with a C and ends with IA.
Havana Moon just came out of nowhere. He just started writing one day about the shortwave numbers, and his stuff was extremely provocative, and it seemed to come from straight inside. The only thing he would ever say about himself was that he was a retired intelligence type, a real trench coat, cloak and dagger spook.
There is some connection between the operations in Warrenton, Remington, and CIA, and maybe the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Havana Moon was a gentleman named William Godbey. He was a retired naval personnel, and he was just a very nice gentleman to know.
Havana Moon, who died in 1996, found a co-conspirator in John Fulford, an ex-police intelligence officer with an interest in radio's dark side. During the late 1980s, they roamed around Florida with a radio direction finder.
He confided in me that he suspected there was one, possibly two, transmitter sites in South Florida. He had an idea where a couple of them were. We took some equipment out. I set the direction finder up. We took some bearings over a couple of weeks. Where the bearing lines crossed was right around a military transmitter site located in one of the airports here in South Florida. We drove right to the airport. When the transmitters came on, the radio nearly jumped out of our hands. The signal was so loud. So we figured right there we had it.
During the day, the Navy sent standard traffic over this transmitter. Located at West Palm Beach International Airport, its frequency was just 3 kilohertz away from the numbers transmission.
The antennas were beamed down into the Caribbean. Who sent the traffic would have no idea. It is an unmanned site sent over a telephone line from parts unknown. I would have no idea. Obviously, one of the intelligence agencies.
My name is John R. Winston. I'm the Assistant Bureau Chief of the Enforcement Bureau, Federal Communications Commission. We don't intend to discuss these stations, if any exist at all, and I'm not saying there are. If you're trying to say there are those that are transmitting in this country, we know of innumerable ones outside of this country. Our only interest is if they are causing interference, we then work with the country of transmission to seek solution.
Well, you can't hide a transmitter.
Cryptographer Bruce Schneier.
Now, remember what a number station is doing. It's hiding the location of the recipient. The location of the transmitter is not necessarily a secret. The person who's receiving it is somewhere, and we don't know where.
Every night in the week in Europe, you could hear these weird gongs sound like some sort of church bells out of tune. But that was part of the stars of stations.
Simon Mason discovered the numbers in much the same way I did. By the mid-80s, he'd begun to seriously document the European number scene from his home in Kingston-upon-Hull in England.
There's been this spy uncovered in my home city, and I know what he was listening to when he was under the control of the Stasi, East German secret police. God knows what his wife and kids thought when they heard these gongs coming out of his kitchen.
5 months after the Berlin Wall fell, the Gong Station went off the air forever.
By and large, a lot of the big players in the Cold War era have gone now. And there's a lot of activity now in the Far East.
The strangest one of the lot has got to be the one from Taiwan.
Writer Hugh Stegman.
It's called New Star Broadcasting, and it has this lady who they tell me even in that culture is way, way too enthusiastic. And she's been computerized, and she comes out of the machine. She says things like, "Good morning, please decode your message." This is all in Mandarin, of course. She says things like, "Thank you very much for decoding today's message. I hope you have a nice day." I mean, she's being nice to the spies. You gotta love it.
That this station is so over the top leads Stegman to think that the purpose is less for transmitting secret messages than for spreading disinformation.
Just this colossal diversion so that the mainland Chinese will think that Taiwan has put hundreds and hundreds of agents into that country, which they might or might not have done. I would say that's maybe why half these agencies do it this way. It makes two guys in a government office in some crummy building without water somewhere sound like, you know, they're on a level with the CIA. Everybody sounds the same on shortwave.
Most monitors seem sure that the number stations are a part of international espionage, but some signals remain elusive.
There are a few strange stations, I must admit, like the buzzer on 4625 kHz. Maybe he's just keeping this frequency open in case some sort of world disaster happens and then they can take over with just a simple shortwave setup. After all, the satellites are being blown out of the sky. Just like a notepad and paper left behind in case your computer crashes.
I think it's just the biggest conceptual art project, unintentional or otherwise, that anybody ever made. It puts Christo and those guys to shame. It's planetary.
I listen to shortwave these days with a bit of a pang. It's fading out, regarded as archaic by many international broadcasters. Yet the number stations persist. Sometimes when I hear one, I write down some of the groups and wonder who the message is for and what it might say. Meet your contact. Blow up the bridge. Don't blow up the bridge. Maybe it's just keep listening.
This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to Free Radio Skybird on shortwave.
Thank you.
This is DJ Frederick, and you're tuned to one of the 10th anniversary broadcasts of Free Radio Skybird. This broadcast of Free Radio Skybird on shortwave is made possible in part by a donation from Mr. Etienne Certain from St. Nicholas in Belgium. Etienne wrote to us saying, "It's my pleasure to report reception of Free Radio Skybird broadcasting to Europe on 6070 kHz. Etienne says that he's retired and spends most of his time helping the elderly and making sure that their needs get met. Thank you so much, Etienne. Your donation means a lot to me. Free Radio Skybird is an unfunded, non-profit endeavor, so any and all donations are much appreciated. Please send PayPal to singinggrove@conknet.com. That's singinggrove@conknet.com. Or U.S. dollars to Free Radio Skybird, P.O. Box 633, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278, United States of America." And I suppose this will be a good time to discuss our new QSL policy at Free Radio Skybird. It's a little bit complicated, so please give us your attention for a moment. All of us here at Free Radio Skybird love the hobby of shortwave listening. However, we're no longer providing eQSLs. So, if you want to receive a QSL from us, here's how it works. Send a PayPal donation for a minimum of $3 in U.S. dollars to singinggrove@conknet.com. Or you can send cash by postal mail to Free Radio Skybird, P.O. Box 633, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278. Please send that attention, DJ Frederick Moe. Now send your reception reports to our email address or send it to our postal address. Detailed and correct reports will be happily verified with your letter, and we'll also verify that you sent us a donation to cover the costs of continuing with these broadcasts. And your letter will be included in One Deck Pete's Skybird mailbag. All right, let's join Justin Moore now in his radiophonic laboratory.
Welcome to the fascinating world of audio frequency equalization. Your equalizer provides you with a means to make any and all corrections that you, in your new capacity as audio playback engineer, determine to be most accurate.
Set your receivers, set your receivers, set your receivers.
Greetings and welcome once again to the Radiophonic Laboratory, where the science of telecommunications meets the art of electronic music. I'm Justin Patrick Moore, your resident mad sonic scientist. And in this edition, we are going to hang out with the world's very first computer band, a network band known as the League of Automatic Music Composers, formed in California's do-it-yourself and homebrew computer scene in the late 1970s. Our first track is playing behind us now, Radio Air Check from 1981. And next up, the League of Automatic Music Composers will be playing their hit tune, Martian Folk Music.
Now to step up the voltage until the ultrasonic bombardment causes permanent dislocation.
Thank you.
Please stand by for your digital text transmission in MFSK64. As a reminder, please do send your signal reports and decodes to DJ Frederick at singinggrove@conknet.com. Thanks once again for joining me here on the Radiophonic Laboratory with the League of Automatic Music Composers. Until next time, I'll see you out there in the ether.
That sound, that vibration, it's alien.
I can feel it too, in my head.
Radio fanatics of the world unite, climb aboard Free Radio Skybird. the Mystic Moods Orchestra with California Dreaming. Before that, Alan Stavell and Ian Morrison Reel. I'm DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the 10th anniversary broadcasts of Free Radio Skybird. So here's a little bit about the prehistory of Free Radio Skybird. Our story begins with a spaghetti harvest in Morania. The harvest was especially abundant that year, and journalists were jumping over one another to come up with increasingly descriptive adjectives to immortalize the Horn of Plenty. Their glowing reports were carried to the world via a fictional shortwave station that existed only in the mind of electronics wunderkind Gary Bourgeois. So Radio Morania International was Gary's parody of an Eastern European shortwave station, which was initially released on cassette, I believe, and then heard on pirate radio frequencies through the decades of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Now, seasoned DXers got all of the in-jokes, audio references that only diehard shortwave listeners would understand, which is why I think Gary's humor sometimes left people scratching their heads. Gary went on to create a modern radio serial called The Adventures of Flash Frisbone, the story of a hapless disc jockey who couldn't keep a steady gig. He also created Skybird Radio, and I believe it was originally a satellite radio TV station on the C-band. Remember those old, huge satellite dishes? So listening to Gary was like listening to your old, weird, hippie uncle who'd smoked a little too much back in the day. Yet he was like an unpretentious friend who invited you into his living room every week. I didn't know Gary, but I did tune into Skybird Radio on the internet because he was an early adopter of online broadcasting. And I created Free Radio Skybird as an homage to Skybird Radio. Even though I wasn't that connected to it, and I didn't listen every week, but when I did listen, it was absolutely wonderful. And Gary would usually segue into his weekly Friday Night Live broadcast with a whole range of obscure and unusual music, which I absolutely loved listening to. So while very little of Free Radio Skybird actually sounds like Skybird Radio, I think there's a connection there. The spirit of freedom, friendliness, and musical variety. So maybe Free Radio Skybird is a perfect homage, honoring the past while sailing into the future in the ionosphere. And we can be heard monthly on 6070 kHz and online via SoundCloud, also on Unique Radio in Australia and archived at radioforall.net. All right, that's a lot of talking. It's time for One Deck Pete to come along with some tunes to cheer us up.
One Deck Pete presents Tunes to Cheer You Up. This week's tune is Sir Was and Kasper Clausen, and it's a tune called Flyder, and it's on the No Label record label.
Thank you.
And that brings us toward the end of this broadcast of Free Radio Skybird. Thank you, One Deck Pete. If you'd like to support the operational costs of this radio project, please send any amount in U.S. dollars to singinggrove@conknet.com. That's singinggrove@conknet.com. You may also support us by visiting patreon.com/freeradioskybird. Supporters receive surprise packages in the postal mail, CDs of our broadcasts, and exclusives from Free Radio Skybird. Free Radio Skybird, I've said that 100 times, is produced by DJ Frederick, that's me, and it's broadcast on shortwave via Channel 292 and Unique Radio, and it features Justin Moore's Radiophonic Laboratory, One Deck Pete with amazing music mixes, and the Skybird Mailbag, Shane Quentin with Radio Reflexology. Our interval signal and opening theme is by Madtone. Our Free Radio Skybird logo was drawn by Steve. And our amazing social media graphics are curated and created by One Deck Pete. This radio station is dedicated to the memories of Gary Bourgeois of the original Skybird Radio, Ambrose Metzigan, MB from WSCS Radio in New Hampshire, and my father, Herman Moe, who is a radio electrician stationed in India during World War II. For all of us here at Free Radio Skybird, remember, radio connects us all. So keep your radio free, keep your mind free, and keep your spirit free. ¶¶
bum, 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 bum,